fighting for America.
Whether liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, white, black, brown, rich, poor, when it comes to our troops, we stand united. We are proud of you. We support you. And we can never thank you enough.
Fighting for Idaho.
Most of the freshmen that I've met are, yes, they're conservative members of Congress, but not the extreme conservative. Man, I can live with that because that's where I feel like I'm coming from.
Fighting for you.
I don't think marijuana should be treated any different than beer. I mean, you could outlaw obesity.
Hey.
Boise's Mr. Right.
A little too close to home, buddy.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Good to have you with us. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Joining us now, Congressman Mike Simpson in studio. Getting ready for the Christmas spirit. How are you, sir?
I've already got the Christmas spirit.
Well, have you been naughty or nice?
I've been nice. Very, very nice. I've been trying to convince my wife of that now for about a year.
I think Dr. Stallings is still looking for you.
He was nice afterwards.
he's quite the character, but there's a lot of big issues going on. None bigger than enhanced interrogation. We just had our friend Linda at the front desk correct me and people that listen to this program, they do that all the time, saying it's not torture, it's enhanced interrogation. You have Chuck Todd trying to lecture the former vice president that we prosecuted Japanese folks like the Bataan Death March. I mean, this is getting out of hand. Your thoughts?
I think it was a disaster that Chairman Feinstein released that report. There was absolutely no reason to release that report. And what it does primarily to our allies that we expect to support us in a variety of things and in a variety of ways, and now they're getting hassled by people in their countries and so forth, and you know, who's going to help the United States in the future if they're afraid this is what's going to happen? But I have some real questions about what you call torture and what you call enhanced interrogation, and to me, these guys are the worst of the worst. And the suggestion that, you know, some people say the reason that we don't torture or the reason we don't do enhanced interrogation or whatever it is because that protects our soldiers and stuff when they're captured. And that might have been true and might be true if you're in a normal sort of war. But these guys, you know, they're cutting the heads off of Americans and so forth. They don't play by Marcus of Queensberry rules or anything else. And when you need the information to protect your people, I think you get it.
You get that. We all get that. But why doesn't the press get it? And you, as someone who has been a public servant, who understands the importance of operational and national security, why would they release that report? To me, it's a bit sour grapes.
I think that... And when you look at it, it wasn't a Senate Intelligence Committee report. It was the Democratic's Senate intelligence report. That was no Republicans were involved in it. The staff of Senator Feinstein are the ones who wrote it, and they didn't even consult or talk with any of the people that did the enhanced interrogation or the CIA or anybody else. And I, you know, that to me just puts a big question mark on the validity of it and the findings in it.
Congressman Mike Simpson with us, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Your thoughts on the big spending bill that was passed as well. Everybody's a critic. You were involved in that. Your thoughts?
Well, I helped write it. I'm chairman of one of the subcommittees that was involved in the 12 subcommittees that wrote the appropriation bill. And, you know, the important thing is that for the fourth year in a row, we reduced federal spending. And that's what we've done ever since we had the majority, got the majority in 2010. And for the fourth year in a row, it's the fourth year in a row we've reduced funding for things like the EPA. We substantially reduced funding for the IRS because of their behaviors and a few things like that. So there's a lot of good things in it. Are there some things in it that I'm not too fond of? Probably so.
Sure.
It's different than if I would have wrote the bill by myself if I'd have been king for a day. But we didn't, but that's not the case. And,
right.
And so ultimately you work with the party across the aisle. You try to come up with a bill that reflects our values, and it does in trying to reduce the deficit, and we'll continue to work on that. And next year we'll do even more. So I was glad that the debate of shutting down the government didn't occur. We should have learned about a year and a half ago, year and a quarter of ago, that that's not good policy and it doesn't work. It's not good politics either. So we got a lot of what we wanted in that bill. Did we get everything I wanted? No. But those are things we'll continue to work on.
How big of a challenge is it for you in leadership, in writing these bills, to get your message through an overly biased press? I mean, it's, you know, the government shut down. It's all the Republicans' fault. So much so, it's good politics to back off, and then you have people on the right criticizing. But, I mean, you say one thing. I mean, it's torture, it's baton death march, it's this, that, and that, as opposed to enhanced interrogation. The NSA, the IRS, everything this administration has done, they've gotten a pass. So being in the arena, what's that like for you and others to know that the press just isn't picking teams? They're on the other team.
Oh, yeah, I know. To a large degree, they are. And then we get criticized a lot of times from the right also, that we're not cutting enough, or we're not doing everything we can to reverse policies of the administration. And one of the frustrating things in this debate was every Republican that I'm aware of is opposed to the president's executive order on immigration.
Right.
Whether you agree with what he did or didn't do, or that policy, almost everyone agrees that it was the wrong way to do it, and that he probably doesn't have the constitutional authority to change the law like that. Then the question comes, what do you do of it? What do you do with it? People say, well, just defund it. Well, that's a little harder to do, because there's not a lot of funding in this requirement. Different than Obamacare. Obamacare has funding requirements and a few things like that. With this immigration policy, it was hard to find something that we can actually defund that would change the policy. Now, that's why we, of these 12 appropriation bills, only one of them only went till the end of February, so that when we have the majority in the Senate, then we can decide if there is a way to get at the policy that the president enacted through executive fiat.
But the issue, unfortunately, for you and others on the Hill, is that let's say someone decided, hey, we're going to take a stand, we're going to stop this. Politically, because he has the press, it plays right into his hand.
Sure
he
does.
He can be doing something that's unconstitutional, blah, 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 but people will back him, and the lack of critical thinking skills in the country is going to impact you guys for doing the right thing.
Yeah. And if we had done, as some people suggested, tried to defund the government again, like we did back in September of 2013. If we had done that again and funded all of the government except Homeland Security and just done no funding for that, and had ultimately had the Democrats in the Senate would have never taken that up, and Republicans would have got blamed for it. That's just the reality. And the press would have said Republicans shut the government down again. And the American people would have been out there, gee, is this why we elected Republicans? So, I mean, that's the problems we face politically trying to do this. But I think we did the best we could in trying to keep the government open, reduce the funding for it, address the deficit, and also only do a short term for Department of Homeland Security so that we can come back when we have a majority in the Senate and try and do something about the immigration policy that the president put on us.
Congressman Mike Simpson with us, taking your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let me hit you with this, a little inside politics, which we like to talk about. The new House, what will it look like? What will your position be, and how will that benefit Idaho?
Well, again, I'll be the chairman of the Energy and Water Appropriation Bill, and Energy and Water Appropriations Committee. I sit on the Interior Appropriations Committee and on the Transportation Appropriations Committee, so I'll have those roles in dealing with those committees. But I think overall, the House will be more conservative than it has in the past, because we've got more, I think, 12 new Republicans. I think we're going to be up to 247 by the time this race in Arizona is called. And I don't know why it takes so long to count votes there, but
right.
But I think we'll be up to 247 Republicans. It's the largest majority we've had since the 1920s, I think somebody told me. So, but I don't think it will be. I think it will be conservative, but not the extreme conservative.
Right.
Most of the freshmen that I've met are, yes, they're conservative members of Congress. They want to address the debt and deficit. They want to address the tax code. They want to address entitlements and all of those types of things that are necessary to get done, the rules and regulations that the administration has done. And most of them know we've got to deal with immigration also. So they're willing to do it. They want to do it. But they don't have extreme positions on it. They got conservative positions. Man, I can live with that, because that's where I feel like I'm coming from.
How do you balance that, though? Because, you know, the term is grassroots, Tea Party, moderates, the big tent. We just had this big election. Controversy. There seemed to be more competitiveness, more controversy within the Republican primaries, as you well know, than anywhere else. So how do you govern?
Yeah.
You know, when people vilify the speaker.
Yeah. And that's too bad. Saw some of our own members vilifying the speaker after this this vote on the continuing resolution, or the omnibus and stuff, or Cromnibus, I guess
right.
they called it. But, you know, it's the differences within the Republican Party aren't so much about what we're trying to do. It's about strategy, how to do it. And we let them try one way, which was closing down the government. And we saw Republicans' numbers go through the floor, lowest they've ever been in public polling. And we know that doesn't work. We didn't achieve what we wanted to achieve. And if we still had the government closed down for the last year, it wouldn't have worked. So it's a difference of strategy, but we shouldn't vilify each other in what we're trying to do, because we all want the same thing. We all want a better country. And we want our government in the financial house to be in order, and we want our military to be strong, and we want to address some of the problems facing us. So we can do that, and there will be differences within the Republican Party on particulars, and that's okay. And that's we're not all uniform, but we're starting to see some of those same differences occur within the Democratic Party now too, on this omnibus with Elizabeth Warren out there. It was kind of funny that Elizabeth Warren was telling the Democratic members not to vote for this, and Ted Cruz was telling the Republican members not to vote for this. It's kind of like the circles came around and met on the other end, you know,
right.
But they were for entirely different reasons.
Congressman Simpson, do we expect too much from government? You know, I can sit there and say, well, what should we do about the growing student loan problem, the debt issue? You know, have we become too dependent on government? And if so, how do we quit?
Absolutely, we've become too dependent on government. We turn to government to try to solve every problem, and a lot of problems are social problems and problems that the government's not equipped to deal with, and societal problems. And the way you have to deal with it, I think, is you don't allow everybody that has a good idea to make a law. And that's the problem today. People ask me all the time, well, what new laws have you passed? You've heard some of the national media saying this is the most unproductive Congress ever because we only
right.
passed X number of bills. Well, my idea of a really good Congress is to repeal a bunch of laws, not pass a bunch of new laws. You would think with all the laws we've got on the books that we got to get along with them for a couple of years and see how they're working. And some of them ought to be repealed. But everybody that comes to Congress feels that their first goal is to pass a law.
Well, and it's interesting, as you point out, the system was not designed for that. It was really designed for Congress not to do anything, not to do much. And I always chuckle at the president when he's talking about immigration reform. Well, they better do something. Well, you're not the boss of Congress.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it is what Congress's role is to make sure that we have a level playing field out there in the free enterprise system, that big business doesn't control labor and that labor doesn't control big business, but there's a level playing field out there. That's the best government can do. And so we do set up some rules on how those things operate. We can also do some things relative to protecting the environment that's common to all of us, that we all breathe the same air and drink the same water, so we all want it clean and those types of things. But I'll tell you, if you look at some of these bills that come before Congress, you got to ask yourself, why is that here? And if it's necessary for government to regulate it, why is the federal government regulating it and not the state? We have way too much power over the last 200 years that have gone from the states to the federal government, and too much power from Congress to the administrative branch of government. We're getting more and more as if we have a king.
Right.
Sort of system. And somehow Congress has got to take back that authority, which is some of the reasons I've voted against some of the bills that might be okay, but I just think Congress has given away too much authority.
More with Congressman.
Mean your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Congressman Mike Simpson with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Congressman, a personal question. You ever get tired of it?
You know, sometimes you get frustrated by it more than anything else. Not tired of it. What you get tired of more than anything is probably the travel back and forth. If I never see a plane again, that'll be too soon probably.
Right.
Spent a lot of time in the air. But the job itself is exciting. It's something different every day. And sometimes, you know, government's supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be easy, and I hear people call me all the time or send me emails that, why don't you guys just do this? You know, this needs to, you know.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you just do this? I'm sure that's what they say.
I know, and it's every time you have a good idea, it doesn't mean that you can just do it. You have to convince 218 people in the House that you're right, that have totally different ideas and philosophies, and then you got to convince 51 in the Senate.
Right.
So, I mean, it's meant to be hard. It shouldn't be easy to make laws.
Now, I have to ask you another question. You've heard of House of Cards?
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how it works there?
Not exactly. That's right. A little more extreme. I don't know of any majority whip that has killed a reporter.
Right. Right. Maybe wanted to kill a reporter.
That's an exciting show, but I will tell you that when Kevin Spacey was getting ready for that show, he and Alec Baldwin were in my office.
Right.
And I didn't know that's what he was getting ready for, but Alec Baldwin was in the office, and he was just kind of asking some questions and stuff.
So he just showed up? And
they were there because I was chairman of the Interior Appropriations Committee, and we fund the National Endowment for the Arts.
Sure.
And so they were there lobbying for the arts and stuff. And
so wait a minute. You're sitting there, and these guys, these famous actors, are lobbying you.
Yeah, about how we can fund the arts and the importance of the arts and that kind of stuff. And Alec Baldwin was just kind of joking around and having a good time. Kevin Spacey was very serious, and he was asking questions about how Congress works and how this works and that works. And when he left, he said, well, he was getting ready to do a show that he was going to play a congressman on and stuff. So he was kind of asking some questions, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that's what it was or anything. And then later on, I found out that's the show he was preparing for. And then he came back and he spent a day with Kevin McCarthy, our majority whip, and with Steny Hoyer, the minority whip, and just learned his role.
Right.
But it's an exciting show that takes a little bit of reality that and puts that fiction with it that makes it exciting.
Right. What is it? Season 3, February 15th, I believe.
Yep.
What about the troops? You know, we talk about them during the war. Are you concerned about the drawdown in Afghanistan and a Christmas message for them?
I'm very concerned about our troops. We've been at war too long, and we need to bring this to an end. And bring them home, and obviously we wish them the best over the Christmas holidays, and be safe.
Yeah, we talk about being safe. Your take on the strategy in Afghanistan right now, the drawdown, and that now it is, but it isn't, status forces agreement, it's confusing.
My problem is I don't think this administration has a strategy in the Middle East. Yeah. That's why I have a problem with what they're doing with ISIL. Not that I like ISIL. I think they ought to be removed from the face of the earth. But I don't think we have a strategy to address them. How can you do a press conference, as the president did, and said they are clear and present danger to the United States, and we're gonna dismantle them and remove them, but we're not gonna put any troops on the ground? How do you do that? We're just going to drop bombs on them. We're going to do drone strikes, and that's going to do it. Every military person will tell you that won't work. So I haven't heard yet from the administration what our policy is there or in Afghanistan other than to meet this artificial date that he created that we're going to be out of there by. And I think when you do that, you put our troops at risk.
Yeah.
So I'm worried, and what I've heard from military leaders for the last probably 5 or 6 years is that regardless of how we leave Afghanistan and Iraq, as we're seeing in Iraq, it's going to be a bloodbath when we leave because these tribal forces are going to take over. And, you know, we haven't done anything to solve that problem. And I don't know that we can, of the differences that they've been fighting over for 2000 years.
One problem that you and Senator Risch and Senator Crapo have been working on is trying to bring back Pastor Saeed.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be, you know, all we can do is encourage the State Department to stay active and make sure that that his name stays in the forefront so that when we have communications through back channels or however we have them with the Iranian government, that that we can do all we can to bring him home. But again, that's, you know, we have Americans being held around the world for no reason at all, actually. And would certainly like to see the Reverend home.
Congressman, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Good to be with you again, Kevin. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
If I can say that.
Yeah, yes, you can hear.
Okay.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 men.
And 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us, the Manly Man segment. Another award winner on the way. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. What are you going to do when this show is over and done? Which I'm sure they'll have a stupid ending for it.
You know, when they got married, I tuned out when Charlie left.
Yeah.
And, to me, this song is more than that show. It's just, it's not about, Charlie or Ashton or the other Alan or whatever that guy's name mm-hmm. is. It's about men getting together.
Oh, okay.
And I have gotten so much feedback on this program. This segment has surpassed its original show. This spinoff is more successful than the show it was created
for. Wow, and you don't have that very often. On TV, you don't. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, what radio show surpasses, you know, the TV show, but I think we have here.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was just curious because I kind of caught part of one of the shows the other day.
Oof.
And it's bad. It is really bad.
Well, now they have another kid.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, I think Ashton adopted a kid.
Yeah, and on this one, Alan and Ashton were acting like they were married to try to pick up women. There's a very novel line for a show.
Right.
Yeah, but that's what that was. And then they ratted themselves out that they weren't. So,
how nice.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Very pleasant show.
Very, very, it was funny in its day, though. Very, you know, and what was it, the original kid, you know, it was the end for him when he made that video about how disgusting it was.
Yeah.
But there was something about that. It was something about, I guess, the mutual disgust there.
Yeah. Yeah, the original kid and the housekeeper used to be funny, and now it's just all just, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got that going on. I know you've been covering this shooting overnight.
Yeah, just kind of following at the Jacksons in Notice, an overnight to about 3:45 this morning. Customer came in the store and ran across a crime scene. Police out there right now investigating to see what's going on. It appears the Canyon County Sheriff there has verified there is one fatality, and that's out at the Jacksons in Notice. So if you're in that area, you're going to have a lot of police activity going on there this morning.
Indeed. Indeed, a lot of police activity. Do want to say, we had him on the other day. Our great friend Ryan French, now shipping off today, so.
Yep. Headed out to boot camp.
Yep.
There goes the hair. He already took the beard off, didn't he?
Well, he had to.
Yeah.
He can't run around with a beard. He can't look like Duck Dynasty in the military.
No, that ends real quick.
Although, from what I understand, if you are of the Islamic faith, I think you can wear beards now.
Well, I think that's part of their faith.
Right, but in the military, that didn't matter. It was a no-no. Now they've relaxed the rules there.
Well, they didn't want to get sued.
Well, look at, what is it, Major Nadal Hassan, the butcher of Fort Hood. He, they told him he's going to have a beard, shave
you
his beard.
Did you call him the butcher of Fort Hood?
Yes.
Kevin, that was just a, you know, that was just a crime of passion.
Workplace violence?
Yes. The president said so.
Well, we humbly and respectfully disagree with the president. We've never done that before.
No.
But, yeah, you know, for what he did. So here's the skinny on this. They're sitting there saying that Major Nadal Hassan doesn't even have to conform to military standards. He's being judged in a military courtroom. So he doesn't even, you know, he wears his uniform, but his hair is all disheveled and everything else because of his alleged faith. Now, when he was in the military and, you know, he was working, he didn't have a problem with it until, you know, he was going to be sent to Afghanistan. Then all of a sudden he got religion, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, why hasn't that case been tried and done? What's up with that?
That's a good point. That's a good point indeed.
I mean, doesn't typically the military trials go a lot quicker than that?
You would think.
It's not like our court system where it's so backed up and it takes 10 years to try a case.
Well, it comes down to this. And this is fascinating. You know, on our website, 580kido.com, we have to torture or not to torture. Now, we have our new question of the day, and I know you're excited about this.
Oh, it's a poll that's up?
It's a poll that's
up. It doesn't
up.
Send you to, like, a Bill and Ted's website, does it?
No, because we want them on our website.
Because that was happening everywhere yesterday in Town Square. Every time you put up a poll, it sent you to Ted and Bill, some sports show.
Yes. Yes, we uncovered that, though.
Yeah.
We did.
It was happening everywhere in the company.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
What is your question?
What were we talking? Oh, the question, the poll question. Yes, yes. Thank you.
Sure.
At 580KIDO. No ADD here for us, but the poll question, he had me on the morning biscuit. But anyway, the poll question being, if we're the 2016, who would be your vote? Who would have your vote for the Republican nominee?
Oh, boy. And you're going to ask me that, really?
Well, we have a lot of choices to choose from. Do you want to hear the choices, or do you have one in particular?
No, you go ahead and give me the choices, because I haven't decided yet.
Okay, and we have a lovely picture of Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush on our website there. Who should the Republican nominee be in 2016? Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie, Ben Carson, or Mitt Romney? I should have put in Butch Otter just for giggles.
No, I think he's retiring. I think he's done.
He just got reelected.
Oh, well, I mean, after his term. I think this is it. He's going to go out and rope cows.
So who has your vote?
Nobody. At this point, nobody has proved themselves worthy of my vote.
Okay,
yet.
I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you're trying to get me to go to the website, 580kido.com, and to vote.
I need to click.
Ah, okay. Click-throughs help. That's
all right.
Good. Okay.
Currently, Jeb Bush at 14%. Marco Rubio at 28%, Chris Christie at 14%, Ben Carson at 14%, and Mitt Romney at 29%. I believe that my vote probably just put him over. I'm very excited about this.
You just voted for Mitt Romney?
I did. You know why? Because, I don't know, he seems more, maybe I've lived here too long. He just seems like the guy I kind of relate to. And we did see him at Five Guys. I've said for years, well, Kevin, and this is my Dave Burnett voice, well, Kevin, that's not very insightful. Everybody said this. Dave, I've said this for years. What have you said, Kevin? I've said this for years that I think in 2008, Jeb Bush could have won. Well, you know, if his last name wasn't Bush, you're probably right. No. I still think that Jeb Bush was the ideal candidate in 2008. Why do you say that? He was the governor of Florida. He was pro-education. His wife was a Mexican national. He has it going on. Today, I don't know if it's passed him by.
See, my question is America done with the Bushes and the Clintons?
Well, I'm glad you asked that.
Okay.
Because on my Facebook site, the personal Facebook site, why didn't you do it on the company site? That's a very good question.
Yeah, why didn't you?
Because the company, they get enough. That's enough out of you.
Wow.
I think I did, like, between Twitter and Facebook, 10 posts yesterday, 4 blogs. Anyway, I got probably the most comments I've ever received, and basically it was this. So it looks like Jeb Bush will finally make his run for the White House. I believe he's 8 years too late. Are you ready for another President Bush? How many comments do you think I've got? Now, remember, I'm not, you know, these Facebook ninjas. How many comments do you think I got?
Four?
No.
I don't know.
25.
No.
Hey, for me, that's pretty good.
Now, see, I see a tie. I just looked at the poll. It's getting ready to vote.
Yeah.
I see a tie.
Well, they're voting right now.
They are. The voting's going on as we speak.
It's changing every minute.
And it's not Jeb Bush, and it's not Chris Christie.
Who is it?
It's a tied up Marco Rubio, Ben Carson. And is Ben Carson, is he the doctor?
Dr. Ben. I could have put Dr. Ben, but I decided not to.
No, because I was thinking of Ben Casey, which was an old TV show in the 1960s, or Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's looking good. Now, you have Netflix, don't you?
Yes.
Have you seen that documentary?
No.
It's pretty cool. In fact, I'm surprised we didn't see Travis Hawks in it. He's very tight with Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what about... Wouldn't that be great to be that guy? I mean, he's great in business, great in politics, great in sports.
Mitt Romney?
Travis.
Oh. Boy, you're just bouncing all over the place.
I am.
I need a play card to keep up.
You hit me with the morning biscuit. That's what kind of...
Huh.
I was on track and ready to go, but we would love you to vote at 580kido.com. Who's it going to be? Now, who did you vote for?
I haven't voted yet.
What are you, running for the Senate in Kentucky? You're going to respect the sanctity of the ballot?
I'm trying to make a decision. I'm not sure that the person I want is on there.
Really?
Uh-huh.
By the way, I was going to say something, but you'd accuse me of flip-flopping again.
No, go ahead.
Flip-flopper. Big night, you know... And don't tell my wife this, but you know when she does that, you know what I call her?
What?
Mitt Romney. I don't know if I should have shared that.
Maybe not.
Mitt Romney. You can call me Mitt Romney.
So what's the big night tonight?
Mr. Romney, Governor Romney.
You're distracted again.
It's, yes, this is very good for the program the rest of the day. Big night, Survivor.
Oh, yeah, tonight's a...
Have you been watching it?
I have been.
Now, you know what I do with Survivor now?
What's that?
What's that? I just fast forward to the end or when they're scheming.
Oh, do you?
I just love the scheme. I don't like the challenges anymore. I just like the scheming. Scheming, scheming, scheming.
Hmm. And then you got the amazing race coming up on Friday. Is that the end on Friday?
Yeah, how about that? It's going to be four teams instead of three, and you could be eliminated on one leg of the race. Come on, Phil!
They're trying to come up with new ways. Well, they moved it to the night of death.
They did.
Which surprised me.
It's horrible.
To Friday night, which is where all TV shows go to die.
Now, before we get to this, let's get back to Survivor.
Okay.
Who do you got?
Let's see. We still have the mom-daughter team, the mom who broke her ankle or whatever.
Yes, and who's been married three times.
Yeah, but she's
married
still
and divorced three times.
And they should have eliminated. Oh, no, they did. They did get the guy last week, didn't they?
Mr. Happy. Hi, I'm John.
They got him, which was important. It was a big deal to get him out of there.
Yes.
I kind of like the crusty old fireman guy.
Keith.
Mm-hmm. I like him or the gal from Sri Lanka, and I can't think of her name.
Oh, the twins from Amazing Race.
Yeah, she has played it actually very smart. She has been very smart playing it.
So devious, though, when she got John.
Yes, she is.
So devious. She goes, he thinks I'm his friend. I'm not his friend.
Exactly.
Like, dang. So you got that. Then you got the Amazing Race. Who are you going with there?
I can't even remember who's in it now.
You got the dentists.
Not them.
You have the surfers, which, and I have to say this, the Amazing Race, and they do a lot of politically correct stuff, mm-hmm. and they do a lot of politically incorrect stuff. They'll always have, like, the gay team or whatever. But they do such an amazing job with people with disabilities.
Oh, I mean, gal that's had her arm bit off by the shark?
Yeah.
She is tough as nails, man.
I mean, you know, we sit back and we look at these folks talking about myself, and I'll go, wow, they can't do things. And the Amazing Race proves that you can, whether you're old, whether you're young, whether mm-hmm. you're missing your arm. Remember Luke that couldn't hear?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the gal who's been shark bit. And, I mean, every time they come up to a challenge, like, how's she going to scale a rock wall on a rope with one arm? And there she does it.
Exactly.
How's she going to play basketball against these guys from the Philippines? And she does it. You know, she is tough as nails. I'm kind of pulling for them.
Are you? They're pretty tough. I like the dentists.
I don't. I hate them.
Why?
The fake blue eyes, the fake tans, the fake breast implants, the teeth. Fake this. Yeah, the veneers. get out of here. Get out. Get off my show.
Okay, so you got them. Then you have the engineers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of them?
Let's see, which ones are the engineers?
That's you got the females.
The two gals?
Yes.
I'm not real big on them. I something about them is kind of like they've just kind of limped along.
Literally, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the dentists, we have the surfers, we have the engineers.
And the one other.
Yeah, and the one other.
It's just a couple, I think.
It is a couple, but who knows?
Yeah. No, I don't want the dentist. Anyone? I want the shark bit couple.
Now, if it was your friend Dr. Lamb, you'd want Dr. Lamb to win.
He doesn't look like that.
No, he doesn't.
And he's not all, hi. No. I mean, when they first started the show, they used to do even a little sparkle on their teeth. Ding!
They did.
It was like, what a joke. So,
well,
I'm hoping their teeth get dirty by the end of the show.
They were in on the joke.
I'm hoping their teeth get dirty, stained, coffee stained by the end of the show.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, that they have to do an event where they swim through blueberry juice and their teeth get stained. That'd be awesome.
They swim through blueberry juice.
Yes, that'd be awesome. Stain those white teeth. Look at me be a hater.
And this is, here we have the economy, we have Obama, and you're talking about swimming through blueberry juice?
Well, the economy is done. Didn't you listen to Beck yesterday? It was run for your lifetime.
I listened to Clive Owen. Clyde Baker. It's Ground Zero.
Oh, yeah?
I was listening to him last night, and apparently the petrodollar is done. I mean, you really, whether you like the politics of the station or not, you really do learn some interesting stuff, because you've got, like, the petrodollar, and I go, what's the petrodollar? And then it goes, there's bombs in all your basements! And I'm going, I don't have a basement! You're still a bomb! And it was fascinating to hear about Putin being a judo guy and the KGB. And
by the way, Ben Carson running away with it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Better get back and vote for the establishment.
It's up to 40%. I like Ben Carson. That might be my vote.
There's a vote for Jeb. Get him, Jeb.
Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, what we all have to be grateful for. Not just living in Idaho, but certainly in comparison to a lot of folks, we're doing all right. Plus, beware of the Putin. Serving Marin.